The interviews and discussions in this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. We're off to take a look at the gold riches of West Africa today by catching up with the Mali gold explorer, Oklo Resources. Oklo trades under the code OKU, or Oscar Kilo Uniform, and last traded at 14.7 cents for a market cap of about 75 million. Before taking a look at Oklo specifically, it's worth noting that the West African gold scene has been a hotbed of merger and acquisition activity of late. Last year, we saw the nine-month takeover battle between Chinese and Russian interests for Cardinal Resources, which was planning to develop a gold deposit in Ghana. Ahead of the bid, it was a 25-cent stock. The opening bid was 45 cents, and it ended up popping off at $1.07, with Chinese interests winning the day. The Canadians have also been busy. There was Endeavour Mining's $2 billion purchase of Senegal gold producer Teranga last year. And just this week, Burkina Faso gold producer and Ivory Coast gold developer Rox Gold said yes to an $850 million bid from Fortuna. The M&A activity tells us that despite some real and perceived risks of operating in West Africa that might scare off some investors, the corporate world of gold producers are clearly prepared to pay big premiums for projects in the West African region. And that's because they come with scale and grade, and it's usually scale and grade that they can't find in their home markets. So West Africa deserves the attention of investors. Oklo fits into that space, something reflected in the heavy institutional presence on its share register. It's just released what is West Africa's newest gold resource from its Dandoko project in West Mali. It's very much an initial estimate as exploration continues. The estimate came in at 11.3 million tonnes at a handy 1.83 grams a tonne for 668,000 ounces. The maiden resource estimate allows Dandoko to proceed to the usual scoping study and then feasibility study work ahead of a development decision. To bring us up to speed with the Oklo story, we have with us today its Managing Director, Simon Taylor. Hi, Simon. Welcome to the podcast and thanks for your time today.
Hi, Barry. Yeah, thanks for having us and looking forward to having a chat to you.
Great. Simon, for those who don't know the story, it might be best if we can start out with you giving listeners a bit of a snapshot history of Oklo's history in Mali and some background on the Dandoko project itself.
Yeah, sure. Look, Oklo's been around for a while. I joined the company in about 2015, just after the successful takeover of Papillon Resources, which is a project nearby that had the Fekola deposit, which was an Australian company taken over by B2 Gold. And Oklo at that stage had about 100 square kilometres. The share price was sitting about 3 or 4 cents, had a market cap of about $5 million. And I jumped on a plane on the recommendation of a broker to go and have a look at the project. And look, like what I saw, like the in-country team, of course, we've got Madani Diallo, who's on our board, who's a Malian, who picked up the ground. And they had a couple of drill holes there that had some nice alteration and agreed to join the board. And we had a process of, you know, recapitalising the company and raise some money and got on with the work over there. And we were lucky enough to bring in Andrew Boyd as our general manager exploration, and Andrew was involved with the Fekola discovery, so some really good in-country.
And Fekola, just by the by, is what is it, 6, 7, 8 million ounces now?
Yeah, look, it's well over 8 million ounces. They're producing well over 500,000 ounces a year and growing. It's a fantastic ore body.
Just for those people who might not have a great understanding of West Africa, you're in West Mali, and that puts you in. I'm seeing the company's material that you like to say that you're looking for elephants in elephant country. So what are some of the bigger projects around you in neighbouring countries and in Mali itself?
Yeah, look, particularly where we are in that western part of Mali, we're right up against the border with Senegal, and there's a main geological feature there called the Senegal-Mali Shear that pretty much runs down the border between the two countries. And as you mentioned, yeah, B2 Gold's operating to the west of us, about 20 kilometres away, over 7 million ounces. To the northwest of us, about 30 kilometres away, is the operations of Barrick, which was Randgold, another merger. So maybe was operated by Randgold, taken out by Barrick. There's over 17 million ounces in that Lulu Gungoko complex. Mm. To the north of us, you mentioned a company earlier, Endeavour, that was taken over a while ago. Endeavour had the Tabakoto mine. That's to the north of us, about 37 kilometres away, actually, by car. And then elsewhere in West Africa, as you mentioned, you know, there's some big deposits. It's an area that has, what I liked about it is it just hadn't had, you know, the extent of exploration that had been done in Western Australia where I've worked previously. So big systems. And the prize is big if you get onto these big systems.
Right. Now, I mentioned the recent resource estimate. Just what have you got there and what's the upside for more exploration?
Yeah, look, we've put out our initial resource. You mentioned the figures earlier. It's just under 700,000 ounces at about 1.8 gram. What's robust about it, Barry, and what we're proud of as a company is that over 50% of it is already in the measured category. And over 79% of it is in measured and indicated. So it's, you know, it's an area that we won't have to come and do, you know, much infill drilling. We'll now go and grow the resource along strike and at depth. What's nice about it also is in the announcement that we put out is we showed a very strong grade tonnage curve. So the initial resource was done at 0.3 of a gram cutoff, very well constrained within pits with Malian royalties and taxes, and so it's been constrained well in a pit. And if you do a higher cutoff at, you know, say, a gram, there's still sort of 570,000 ounces, about 2.8. Mm-hmm. Even higher cutoff at 2 grams, we've got just over 410,000 ounces at over 4 grams. So we've got real optionality to, as we now look at our technical studies and mining studies, to look at mining higher-grade feed. It's all open cut. It's all from surface. And the nice thing is we've got these very high-grade pods that we could access early on in the development curve.
Mm. Now, this resource is at the Seiko deposit?
Yeah, the main, about 90% of it's from Seiko. There's three Seiko called SK1, very imaginative of us. SK2 and SK3. There's actually an SK4 and an SK5, which we're still drilling. And then a small, so 91% of the resources from these three areas. And then there's some other resources that are in an area called Jabiru at Coco and Dissay. And they're the areas that are particularly Coco and Dissay that we're going to be drilling. We just announced last week another 14,000 metres of drilling. So, you know, this is most of the other thing I didn't mention is that well over 65% of the resource is oxide. So, we haven't really tapped into the potential high-grade feeder zones in the fresh rock, which is what you get at Fekola. Mm. Very deep. We've got a very deep weathering profile here, over 200 metres in some of the areas. Early indications of low-cost mining, you know, low-cost processing, which is fantastic.
Yeah, in and of itself, the just under 700,000 ounces, that's enough for you to get moving on scoping and feasibility study work?
Yeah, look, it is. What we're looking to do over the next 12 months is push down technical studies and scale into a scoping study, and also moving forward on all our environmental and baseline work, which we're pretty well advanced with, because we'd like to get this permitted, in the next 12 to 18 months, and then move down that development road. So there's enough there to do some initial technical studies and scoping and see what the numbers come up with and what we need and what we will need going down the track. But really, there's sort of two angles: is to grow the resource. We're still looking for that multi-million ounce deposit which we have nearby. We believe we're onto a very similar system, same host rock, same alteration. But we're also pushing down that early development road where we've got some really nice grades. There's a lot of 1 gram, sort of million ounce, 1 gram ore bodies in West Africa, but this is quite unique in that we've got some high grade, you know, as I said, there's over 400,000 ounces here at over 4 grams at surface. So these are the sort of things we've got options on.
And I was just going to ask you to expand a bit, if you could, on what the regional upside is. You touched on it there, but are there any particular projects that excite at this stage?
Yeah, well, there's sort of three areas that we can grow the resource through. There's the near pit extensions. There's a whole lot of intersections that fall just outside the pits, particularly at SK1 South. We reported an intersection of 11 metres at over 6 grams, which is at 120 metres depth, just off the side of the pit, which we think is another lode developing. So there's targets there. And then regionally, along strike from Secco, we've got a 15-kilometre long corridor of auger anomalies, which is what we did early on in 2016. We came in and augered the whole project, a bit like soil sampling.
Mm.
We came in and did very shallow auger, 70,000 metres of auger, and came up with a host of targets. So that's areas that we'll target. And we're learning a lot more now about the geology as we go through, and using IP has been pretty effective. So that's the second string, is to look at these other targets along strike along that corridor. It's over 15 kilometres. And as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we started with 100 square kilometres. We have pegged and picked up areas around us. We've got about 500 square kilometres now, and we particularly like a couple of projects, Candiol and Karoofing and Sari, and we've just completed 8,500 metres air core drilling on those projects. So that's the third sort of string in the bow, if you like, for growth opportunities, and they're all within trucking distance of Secco. So I think what's really unique is none of this. This is a brand new discovery. So this is, it's not an area that we've had, thousands of metres of drilling, and we're trying to reinvent what was done before or look for angles on what might have been missed. But this is all the new discovery, which is exciting.
Yeah. Okay. So no shortage of targets. How do you go about funding and capitalising on this upside?
Yeah, we've got plenty of cash. We've got about $14 million. In the bank at the moment. So we've got plenty of cash to continue drilling all through the rest of this year and into next year. That's how we'll keep going with the funding. As you said earlier, we've got some good shareholders on the register, and some of those shareholders know that these West African ore bodies can develop into something big. So we've got some good patient shareholders there. And, we'll continue to drill. The excitement's in the drilling.
Have you set a timeline yet for, scoping, feasibility study, final investment decision, sort of?
We've set a timeline internally to try and push forward for potentially get a mining license in the next 12 months. We're well ahead on all our environmental and baseline studies. We've got calls into various groups over the next couple of weeks, and started last week on studies, because we really, once we got the resource out, we knew what we were dealing with. So we did some initial work, but once we actually published the resource and had work with, and we've looked at some other projects in West Africa, the Perseus Asingui project's quite similar. When that started, that had, I think just over 430,000 ounces at about 2.4 grams in a reserve. And we've looked at some CapEx figures on those sorts of projects. So there are similar projects in Africa. There are these will be, multiple pits, which is quite common over there to start with. And so there is, the fair bit of historical work that went on and is going on that we can use as inputs into our studies.
Okay. Now, from my introduction, anyone would think I see Oklo as a potential takeover target, which I do, I guess, but given the share price has come off from some of the highs seen last year on the back of gold price weakness and some issues in other countries and Mali itself, I guess, I was just wondering, the current market value, do you feel exposed to a lowball takeover bid, or any concerns on that particular point?
Oh, look, I think the company's cheap at the moment, yes. It's the usual scenario, isn't it? The excitement is when you're drilling those first holes and getting and discoveries, and everyone gets excited. And we went through that probably 2 years ago, and then you start doing the studies and, putting out your resource statements, and people start putting, numbers on you. But for us, there's a lot of upside from here. We do have very good shareholders and you know, who I very much doubt would, you know, do anything at these levels. So, you know, we've just got to get on with the job and push down that development road and create more excitement from the drilling, which is going on at the moment. There's, you know, as I said, there's 14,000 metres going in now.
Well, I see you recently, earlier this month, put your hand in your own pocket and bought some shares on market. You obviously like the story.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've bought shares from day one. So we don't get a lot of opportunity to with, you know,
yeah,
as far as, you know, results, everything coming else. So I think it's a great opportunity. I think, you know, as you mentioned earlier on, there is, you know, West Africa has been a place that M&A goes on, and there's not many deposits still being found. So it's one place that you can really find a very big deposit. We have three existing mills around us, and we have other people that are looking to grow. So, you know, I think, you know, it's a good opportunity at these levels.
Yeah, okay. Now, Mali as a place to operate, how would you characterise it?
Look, it's Africa. It's West Africa. It's as far as the mining code goes, it's a great mining code. Things get done. Mines get built. I mean, since I've been there, Hummingbird's built their project in South Mali and now is in production. Obviously, B2 Gold's built for Fekola. That's in production. West Africans built their project in Burkina. I think one of the key points is to have good in-country people. And I mentioned Madani Diallo earlier. He was actually BHP's exploration manager for Africa for about 10 years, based out of London.
Right.
So educated. You know, well connected in government and well connected into the industry, and we very much rely on, you know, him and our local geologists and our local guys in country. So geologically, it's a fantastic place to explore. You know, we've taken a little bit longer to get a handle on the geology, but that's because there hadn't been any work done here. And you know, coming into a new area is exciting. So there's lots of upside for us.
Right, okay. Just pulling it all together for investors, what should they be looking out for in the next, well, for the remainder of 21, I guess?
Look, drilling results. We have regional results, about 8,000 metres coming from the regional projects I talked about. Those samples are in the lab now, so hopefully there'll be some results in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Lots of drilling on the growth side around Dandoko itself, at Seko, about 14,000 metres. Metallurgy, we've got some metwork going on at the moment, which we will have results for soon. So, look, really drilling and updates on studies as we go forward is the exciting thing for investors. And as I said, we're fully funded to do the work. And the other thing, and as I said, we don't need to do a lot of infill drilling. We can spend the money looking for growth and opportunities. We've now set the, you know, really solid foundation for the start of the mine, and it's now about growing it along strike and at depth and other targets.
If you had to, could you give investors some idea of when you might actually be in production?
Look, if all went well, you could be potentially in sort of 3 years, potentially. We haven't looked that far ahead yet. We've only just got the resource out. But 2 to 3 years you could potentially, you know, if you went hard, mm-hmm. get this thing moving. But, you know, we'll know more once we've done these studies and how they go over the next short while.
Yeah. Well, the gold market... Anyone would think that the gold market had fallen in a heap, but US $1,780 is still a very good price for new projects.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I said, I looked at some. I've been looking at some of the N43-101s from some of the guys from 4 or 5 years ago, and they're all based on $1,200, $1,300 gold price.
Yeah, there you go.
And there you go. I mean, when we constrained our pits, we used a $2,000 gold price, but what's really interesting on our resources, if we put sensitivities to the US dollar price, if we did it at $1,750, we only lose about 4% of the ounces, and at $1,500, we only lose 8% of the ounces. So this is, as I said earlier, it's a really robust resource. The gold price, moving around. I think investors are wanting to see it go one, hopefully up, but one way or the other, it seems to be, you think it's getting a start and it comes back again. But I think the outlook for gold looks good. But, we're just going to get on and keep drilling, and we know even at lower gold prices, this project's going to make money.
Yep, that's the way. Okay, folks, there you go. An exciting virgin discovery in West Mali continues to grow with a near-term production potential likely at good grades. And as I mentioned there, still pretty good gold prices. So with that, I'm going to say thanks for your time today, Simon, and all the best with it.
Great. Thanks very much, Barry. Thanks for having us.